All right.
Glass half full.
Here we go.
For you.
We'll record then, okay? You bunch of whiners. We'll record. It's fine. Man. Coming up on TMS, I am an Amazon remote warehouse now.
Olive Garden wants to stuff your face with pasta.
99 red balloons performed with a bunch of red balloons.
Yay. 23 Jump Street is greenly.
I meant greenlit.
Must be greenlit. Greenly.
Greenly. Alex Trebek gets his groove back.
Therapy Thursday and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
In a far-off land, the infamous one who calls himself the leader anxiously seeks one special being.
My computers cannot be wrong. Yet when I focus my world-probing scanner on the precise coordinates indicated, there is nothing but a desert mountain cave. A solitary scientist working with complex machines. It is imperative to my plan that I find the one called the Hulk.
Cat and chicken porn.
A delicious part of your nutritious breakfast. This is the Morning Stream.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Morning Stream. What's going on? What's happening? How are you? Hello, chat room.
Hello.
Hello, Brian.
Oh, hello, Scott.
Yes, how are you? I'm fine, fine. We are here to do a show, and it's Thursday, September the 11th. Oh, man, a day to remember. It didn't occur to me till this morning that it was, because it kind of crept up on me, but it is the anniversary of the September 11th.
Tis indeed, yes.
Terrible day in, I think, world history.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Because it wasn't just us, man. It was affected a lot of things, and we went into a couple of big, ugly wars, and it just got weird, and there's still sort of a lot of weird things going on, and I don't know, I just feel
it was
like
the day that everything changed, TSA, the whole, like, getting on a plane, the whole process, you're reminded every day
changes. And moreover, just the general feeling that life was going to be just a little bit different, no matter who you were or where you were at. And in a weird way, it always bugs me that that's true, because we kind of let, if we got bullied that day, for lack of a better term, there's probably a lot better terms, we kind of let it happen. You know what I mean? we sort of let that, if we are going to just change everything about us in reaction to that, in a lot of ways, I feel like we kind of kowtowed. I don't know. It's hard to explain.
No. It was the end of our innocence. You know, it was the end of a naivety that we kind of had of, you know, of, I don't know, like maybe a trust or just a complacency that we'd fallen into.
And look at this. There's small things. I know these are insignificant compared to the loss that day, but there's little things like movies don't have goofy, dumb terrorists in them anymore. They're all super serious because terrorism is serious. And we suddenly changed our thing. So go back and watch like 1994's True Lies, for example. And watch that buffoonery take place with that goofy terrorist who is kind of a cartoon of terrorism, right?
Right.
Now,
right.
Some would say, well, no, you want the truth. You prefer to have the raw business in your face and not be bottled away from what really, you know, lies beyond your borders, and that was a good thing in that way. But, you know, I kind of miss the fact that some of that stuff was just dumb, and you could just have dumb fun with it. And now you got to be all serious about it. You know?
Yeah.
It's hard to explain, but I feel like, you know, a little chunk of you taken away, little raw wound still out there, still festering, still not scabbing up, you know?
Well, I think of it more like a callus. Like it's, you know, it's healed, but it's a little bit tougher than it was before. And it's a permanent reminder. It's a scar that's kind of a permanent reminder of.
Yeah. We do have that. Before. Well, yeah. Hopefully, we can have a very productive, positive day in the face of that terrible day.
Of course we can.
Of course we can. Let's do that now. Let's do that now, everybody, with an episode of The Morning Stream. The most frivolous use of your time and ours. Hey, I got a problem, though. I got a problem.
What's the problem? What's happening?
Here's the problem. There are too many things in my house that are not mine. And what I mean by this, that is this. So my daughter registered on Amazon for their wedding registry. Back in my day, we had to register at the mall. I think it was the mall. I don't remember where we did it. I think it was. I feel like it was. Oh, I know what it was. There's a local department store here called ZCMI, or there was. It's not here anymore. Mm-hmm. I don't remember what it stood for, but it was this, like, you know, Macy's or JCPenney-ish kind of deal.
Same kind of thing.
Except, yep. You know, lots of stuff, not just clothes. And so we registered there for our wedding some 22 years ago. And we mostly spent the money on jeans, which I know sounds a little weird, but we needed pants.
Please buy us pants for our wedding.
I just remember spending all of our money. Like, people would buy all these, like, crazy kitchenware things.
Yeah.
And I remember Kim and I came to this decision one day, like, we kind of have everything we need for the kitchen. Why don't we just buy pants? So you can just shift the money around. Shift the money around. So
Remember, we were registered at, was Media Enough a thing back then?
I don't know. What is that?
That's 22 years ago?
That's not one I've heard of. What is that? What'd you say? 80? What was it?
Media Enough.
I never heard of that.
Wow, really? You guys didn't have Media Enough?
No.
Trying to remember what Media Enough became, because I think... it was the May Company merged with Daniels and Fisher. Maybe that's just a Colorado thing. Actually, I'm looking at it. Yeah.
Do you have Dillard's out there?
We do have Dillard's.
Okay, so Dillard's is more...
Tina would be very disappointed that I cannot remember where we were registered.
It's more important Thorne, to remember the Thorne date.
Thorne says, yeah, they became an Arby's. Yeah, okay. I guess it is a Denver thing because we've got the clock tower downtown. Save the clock tower!
Save the clock tower!
Is the Daniels and Fisher building. Oh. So it's, yeah.
All right, well,
there you go.
So that's where you registered. And it's fun to do that because you get all this stuff, and it's always nice to, you know, be there on the receiving end of so much generosity. But in this case, Taylor and Dylan are registered at the at Amazon, which is a weird thing. You know, you're registered at an online deal. There is no brick and mortar thing. So as people have supported her wedding and given her gifts and whatever, they have come in the form of Amazon packages, and they are not shipping to their apartment.
Of course not.
They're coming here.
Right.
And there's this giant pile of unopened Amazon boxes in the front entryway of the house, just standing there, and it's getting bigger and bigger. And I feel like that weird lady from Hoarders on freaking A&E is going to come by and tell me what I'm doing wrong.
What are your wedding colors, Taylor? Oh, brown and orange.
Yeah, brown and orange. Everything looks like it has a little smile under
it. Smile, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, I don't know what to do with it all. There's a weird, I have a temptation probably because of all this TMS stuff we get. But I'm always tempted just to tear it open. I just want to see what's in there, man.
Sure.
I mean, for all I know, it's like all stupid, boring stuff, but I want to see.
That's funny because the you don't really think about that, but that is a brilliant place to register because if you register at JCPenney, for example, there's 100 JCPenneys. I mean, you know, just in the area that you live, you'll probably have like 4 or 5 that you can go to. Yep. And if 2 people go to the JCPenney and they buy the same soup ladle at the same time, it doesn't get taken off the list until they purchased it. And then they won't know. And it's like, oh, no, now we got 2 soup ladles.
Yeah.
But with Amazon, it's instant, right? Yeah, it's like, I'm going to buy them that soup ladle right away.
I imagine there maybe could be a scenario where somebody is buying at the exact same time and they submit within nanoseconds of each other.
Sure.
But that seems super unlikely to me. So I'm with you. That's a great way. Well, plus just... the myriad of things to get. Like,
yeah, exactly.
It's not like a JCPenney where you're limited to whatever JCPenney stocks.
Sure. You can buy everything. Them. You can buy a bag of Ruffles as well as a pair of shoes and a
male enhancement products.
French made costume. Right. Whatever.
All of it. I'm sure. Judge not, want not, or whatever, however the phrase goes. But if you wanted something strange, like, let's say I want some copper wire.
Okay.
Oh, look at this. I can get a spool of copper wire, 16 gauge, 25 feet of it. They're referring to it as hobby wire.
Sure.
For $6.41. I mean, JCPenney's not going to carry that. I can get DVDs. I can get clothes. I can get pills. Well, maybe you don't want the pills, but you can get whatever you need. It's all right here. It's all right here. And look at the number. They have 25 different brands of copper wire people in Amazon alone. Like,
wow.
Duh. I mean, this is what you'd do. This is the modern wedding, everybody. This is what you do. But I don't necessarily like being the dumping ground for Amazon.
Sure.
Like, constant daily packages. Bing bong! We're not up there. Can you sign? Some of it I need to sign for, some of it I don't. And it's just piling up. There's a giant wall of boxes in the house. And it just is what it is. So thanks for that.
Well, you've inspired me,
yeah.
And I just ordered some copper wire for their wedding.
Fantastic.
They now have some copper wire coming, and they'll know who it's from.
They'll know exactly who it's from. You're lying. You didn't really do that, did you?
No, but I do have my eye on a very nice OXO Good Grips 5-quart stainless steel colander.
Oh, good. Because, you know, I was just saying the other day, if there's one thing I need, it's a colander of stainless steel.
How about the
steel
Rubbermaid no slip cutlery tray?
Sure,
large,
sure.
Black.
Yeah. Starting out in life, need a little cutlery.
You need a cutlery tray.
Sure. What's another I should do?
These are some really, I mean, it's funny. You just, you know, you look through the wedding registry. I'm on their wedding registry page. And you look through this stuff and it's like, they had to go through this list and say, oh, yes, we would like a ceramic tumbler for the bathroom with,
yep.
You know, a drinking thing to rinse out your mouth, and maybe a microfiber bath rug.
Yeah, yeah. Why not? How about this one?
Oh, here's, I love this. They've registered for a PlayStation 3 Energizer Power and Play charging system.
They did?
Yes.
Why? Oh, because awesome. They've got my old PS3, that's why.
That is so awesome. There we go. Done. Done and done.
So I just did a quick search for candy. And I see here we've got super fun penis candy.
They didn't register for that, did they?
No, they didn't.
Okay.
100 pieces of that. I'm very curious about, let's look at the reviews. I know this is a bit of a rabbit hole, but I enjoy these things. Cute but small, says Stacy Stew. These mm-hmm. candies were really cute, but way too little.
Wow, so we've got a size queen complaining about the candy.
Here's
great.
The best part. The bag is small, and even though it looks big in the photo, it is the size of a bag of M&Ms. The candy tastes decent, but the real value is the penis shape. Wow.
Nice.
Here we go.
So here's a problem. When you try and order one of these things,
yeah,
it adds it to your cart.
Yeah. I don't know how it works.
But it automatically ships to me. I don't want it.
No. Brian doesn't want penis candy. Right.
I don't want that either. Thank you very
much.
Yeah. I'll figure this out. This is not the time, not the place.
They should have registered a PS4. What are they thinking?
No kidding,
right? Somebody out there will do that, yeah.
Right.
Cheered up a friend, says this poster on this penis candy. I got to do a couple of these. Says, I didn't personally eat any of these, but gave them to a friend to cheer her up after being diagnosed with cancer. She seemed to like them. Wow.
Aww.
I guess
I was gonna do the whole sure your friend,
yeah.
And then the C word came up, and it's like, I can't make that joke.
Yeah,
thanks for ruining that opportunity for humor.
Lots of tiny bag references here. It's great.
Comes with a tiny sack.
Yeah,
to keep them in.
A little tiny sack. I want to see all just the negative ones. Well, let me used to do that. Won't let me filter it for some reason. Anyway, well, whatever. Rebecca H says, not that great, small bag. This lady says, I did not pay
more candy penises.
This lady
more
says,
candy penises.
I did not spend enough time or close enough attention when they were ordered. I did not realize this was a bag full of tiny penises, it says. Wow. All right. Well, I didn't mean to go down that road. But anyway, point is, help me. I'm trapped. That's what I
sure.
meant to say.
I'm trapped, surrounded by boxes of Amazon.
Oh, it'll be soon. I bet this weekend they take them all to the apartment and get them out of here. I just don't know what you do. I mean, okay, so most of the weddings I've been to, there's usually a pile of gifts at the wedding too, right? Mm-hmm. Like people will
sure.
bring something.
Sure.
And when I was a teenager, we did what we called wedding hopping when I was 16 or so. And my friends and I would go to a wedding, right? We'd go to a first wedding, and we would show up with nothing or an empty box or something. This is totally rude, what I'm about to tell you.
Okay.
We go in there.
Was this a wedding you'd know?
Like, no,
is this
no, no,
a wedding?
No.
Okay, you would crash a wedding.
Yeah, we'd dress up in our best whatever clothes we had, and then we'd go to this sure. wedding. And I was such a Letterman freak, I would still wear sneakers anyway, because I was a kind of a dick.
Sure.
So yes. I'd show up and we'd go to the wedding, put a box, an empty box on the pile of gifts, and then go in there and eat their food and stuff. And then we go through their line. A lot of people have like a reception line. Mm-hmm. And we go through and say, oh, how you doing? I've not seen you in so long. It's so great to see you. My mom knows your mom. And people would go, oh, yeah, yeah. You know, acting like they know us. And then right. on the way out, here's the real dastardly bit. On the way out, we would grab a gift off the pile.
Oh.
And take it with us and go to the next wedding. And we would dump the gift there. Because that was like your ticket in.
It'd be like in a hotel, like where there's probably a couple different receptions all going on at once.
Mm-hmm. Or, or we'd go from center to center. There's a ton of reception centers. It is kind of, it's super bad.
But you'd take, you'd give that gift to the next person?
Yeah, yeah. The next guy would get a, you know, whatever it was. And we would always dare each other to take one of the biggest things you could carry. And
Oh my God.
You know, one of my buddies would take a bigger thing than me and we'd laugh about it. And we'd take it over to the next guy, leave him the gift. And what's funny is that usually included a card. So when people would open these things, it would have a totally different to and from on there, right? So we go to that one, we'd eat their food, shake their hands, do their thing, and we were bottomless pits of food then. You could eat whatever you wanted, as much as you wanted. So then we go to the next one. We did like five of these a night on a Saturday night. And by the time we were done, you know, moved 3 to 4 gifts, you know, between, we were like bees pollinating flowers. We were just jumping flower to flower, leaving a little something every time we went. And it was a super, it was an awful thing to do. I mean, at the time
you're a horrible person, Scott.
We thought it was hilarious at the time, but it wasn't nice. I mean, come on. It's not nice to do what we did. So don't do that, kids. I don't recommend it. Wedding hopping is for the idiot 80s kid, not for the modern, sophisticated young man or woman today. All right. Enough of this jibber-jabber.
So much worse than I used to do holodoming, but that was nothing.
Whoa, what is that?
You'd go to the Holiday Inn holodome, and you would just, you know, you would act like you were a guest there. The holodome was like the Holiday Inn that had the hot tub and swimming pool and all that stuff. So you just act like a guest, and you show up there, and you swim in the pool and your hot tub.
Now Don that Mosby I could live would, with. I mean, that feels...
Mosby would try and charge stuff to rooms. Put on the Underhills bill kind of thing.
Right. Oh, that's actually
cool. I just called out Don Mosby's last name even.
Uh-oh. Oh, Don. What are you going to do, buddy?
Don Mosby.
Isn't this is Don, your friend Don, that goes to Vegas with you still and stuff, right?
No. This is Don that one of the last times I saw him was at Tina and my wedding.
Oh, in a tub in a hotel full of ice.
In a tub in a hotel full of ice, yes.
That makes sense.
No, I don't know whatever happened to Don Mosby.
It is funny how these guys who are your
drifter,
constant hangout friends in high school and maybe even college, early college or whatever, they just disappear. Mm-hmm. They're just not around anymore. I don't know where most of my friends are. My buddy Mark, who listens to the show, I still talk to him here and there and maybe a couple of others on Facebook. But you think those relationships are the most important things on earth and then they go away.
Mm-hmm.
All right, time for Daryl. It's Stumpa, Trek Nerd, brought to you by
Travelers of Storia. Is a brand new 1 to 4 player, fully cooperative dungeon crawling board game. It's an addicting and unique hybrid of elements from both Magic the Gathering and Dungeons and Dragons. Watch tutorial videos and join the forums for the game at travelersofstoria.com. That's Travelers of Storia. Support the Kickstarter coming soon.
The man who loves
cat and chicken porn
is here with us now. His name is Daryl Skeels. He goes by the Trek Nerd and he's with us. Daryl, how you doing?
I'm good.
Oh, that's fantastic.
So is that porn with cats and chickens together or two separate porn?
That is porn with cats and chicken in it.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. Now, the chicken may be just there. Just it's chicken. Like craft services for the crew. I don't know. Right. And somehow gets involved in the filmmaking itself. I don't know.
Did somebody order some chicken?
Hey, greasy skinless chicken. Cable. Yeah, that's usually the way it works. It's funny. Like today, go back in the day, it was pizza delivery guy, right? Mm-hmm. Then it was cable electrician guy. Today, what is it? Is it dude, ISP dude, or is it...
Right. I'm here to fix your butt. I'm here to increase the size of your pipe.
That's awesome.
I'm here to give you some more bandwidth.
That's right. I like it. I like it. As time moves on, very little changes. The names change, the rest stay the same. Daryl, speaking of names that change and guys that stay the same, I don't know what any of that means. Welcome back to the show. He is the Trek Nerd. He answers hard trivia questions. There is no Daryl challenge later today. For those asking, we're not going to make that like every week Daryl's going to eat a thing in front of us. But we want to sparingly, you know, it's like, what's it like? You want to Small, you know, smart doses.
Small doses, yeah. Right, exactly.
Smart, why did I say smart? You said the
smart,
right thing.
Smart doses.
Oh, you know, it's
give this to people in smart doses, because, you know, if you don't want to overdose them on the Daryl challenge.
Oh, the heck do you mean? So Daryl's going to come on sometime and do more of that, but not today. Today is not that day. Daryl.
Wonderwood continuing on the whole, you know, what would porn actors say today?
Yeah.
Looks like you could use some more RAM.
Yeah. We could all use a little more RAM. Daryl, let's get to your, let's test your memory, your random access memory. Let's see how it is with a Star Trek question. You ready for this thing? Are you all set?
I'm ready. I have my notepad and pen, and I'm ready.
All right, brace for it. Here it is. In the original series episode, The Squire of Gothos.
Oh, yeah.
The You're pretty excited. Oh, yeah. Hey, Mike, get that one. Get that one for me. The Enterprise crew encounters Trelane. He brings them into his castle and insists that they stay. His castle has various historical items. One set of items are some flags. And then he wrote, "What-y time period?" He meant what? "What-y time period?" Does Trelane say these flags are from? Is it A, the Crusades, B, the Renaissance, C, the Napoleonic era? You're being so Napoleonic. It always sounds like such a rude thing to say. Napoleonic. Mm-hmm. And the Middle Ages. So the Crusades, the Renaissance, the Napoleonic era, or the Middle Ages. Someone sounds like answers to the question, what will the next Assassin's Creed game be set in? while you think about that, and I know that you will, because that's just how your brain works, let's play this.
Are you hungry?
Aren't you hungry?
Much a foodie.
Daniel's box gets smaller and smaller each day.
Now, I haven't been refrigerating any of the beverages that are in here, but we do have quite a few beverages.
I know you're not one for room temperature, are you?
There's beverages?
Yeah, did you not
did
get
Did you
beverages?
Not get lychee soda?
Or Arome de Peche?
Or aloe vera drink?
Oh, wait a minute. I've had aloe vera. Maybe they're in the fridge and they've been there for months.
They might have been. So there's papaya pineapple Jumex is what I got.
Oh, I didn't get that.
It's a Jewish Mexican food. It's really good. Jumex.
Right. I think somebody corrected us. That's pronounced Humex.
I got aloe vera drink, but there's a dent. Do I worry about that?
Yeah, there's a dent in my aloe vera as well.
No, I've had this before. I have a big bucket. Actually, I have a big jug of this in the fridge upstairs because aloe vera juice is good for like stomach crap. So I'll probably be used to that. And then the third thing I got was this. Oh, I just dropped the entire box. Fantastic. I got an Arome de Peche. I'd happily try one of these.
Well, and it's, yours is Arome de Peche. Mine is Aroma Lychee.
Yeah, and it's kind of like clear bottle, like weird transition color on the top.
Cool. Yeah, it's a really cool thing.
Yeah, it's like
little
a can.
Little nubbins on the bottom.
It's like a can mixed, like a can and a liter of pop had a baby.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's weird. I like it though. I would buy these. It feels like I'm holding something futuristic. Daryl's just got a lot of packing peanuts.
If Daryl's got, you'd have to go to the corporate fridge, wouldn't you, to go see if you've got that.
Yeah, that's not far away.
Does it have a big post-it note on it that says, "Don't touch my stuff"?
Quit eating my lunch.
Yeah.
Whoever you are. Or we go in for the, one of the...
Can I make a confession?
Moshi balls or something.
Can I make a confession?
Sure.
I was one of those guys once. I ate a dude's lunch in an office setting. So he had a thing in the fridge and I ate it.
You just ate it?
I ate it because I was hungry.
It's like we're learning about the dickish side of Skeletons.
Oh, yeah, it exists. It happened. I was starving one day, and that guy was out, and I thought, well, he's not going to eat this. It was some Mexican something or other. And I remember thinking, that sounds good, and he's not here, and I'll just pay him back. You know, I mean, I had a plan. I ate it, then forgot completely about it. 2 weeks later, he's like, "Anyone know what happened to my Chex Mex that was in the freaking deal?" Or whatever it was.
Right.
I don't know why I said Chex Mex, but the Czech Republic Mexican combo that he had.
Yeah, the great fusion restaurant.
Yeah, it's really good. And I said, "Oh, shoot." And I think I didn't say anything because it had been so long and I hadn't done anything about it. I didn't take credit for it. So if that guy's listening, I apologize, dude. That was a good burrito or an enchilada or whatever it was. But
delicious.
I apologize. I am one of those guys. All right. So what do you think? You want to do the Peche Del whatever? But Daryl doesn't have any drinks.
Sure. I don't even have that Peche whatever it is.
Well, right. You've probably got a different one. If I've got the lychee flavored, then you've probably got some other flavor.
Yeah.
But, I mean, what can? We could do is...
It's like a can bottle.
A can bottle. Yeah. A clear plastic bottle with a can top.
Yeah. That's a good way to describe it.
It must be in the fridge then.
Because what we could do instead is one of these like mochi, Japanese mochi balls. You should have a bunch of those.
Hold on. I dumped my entire box on the floor. Hang on.
Okay. They're little packets, different colors, all sorts of flavors you can get.
Dang it. They're everywhere. Mochi balls. Huh.
They're little mushy mushy balls. It's a
either.
Semi-transparent little bag that's got
like
red or purple on the top and bottom.
Does it say red bean Judia Roja? Okay,
that's
Hold
the
on.
One.
Are the mochi balls like in a little package of red and purple?
Yes.
Well, we can do that. Let's do that.
Okay.
Oh, it says mochi on that one. Yeah, the other one doesn't. The purple one just says Japanese stuff.
Yeah, it doesn't even tell you what flavor it is. The peach one is sesame.
Oh, is it? Okay, and what's the red one?
The red one is red bean, and that's going to be awesome.
That one's heavy. It's like dense.
Oh, I've got two of those.
Yeah, I've got three.
Well, let's give that a shot. Okay, so we'll do the mochi ball, and then tomorrow we'll...
Looks like I've got two of each color. Actually, I got two purples, two reds, two peaches.
Ooh, it smells like... Yeah. It feels like...
Which one are you doing, the red?
Yeah.
Okay.
I feel like somebody mushed this around.
Well,
make my
it
hand.
Was your can of peach flavored water that mushed it around.
Could have been. Alright, well, I'll give it a shot. I don't know what to do with this. Just eat it?
Just eat it. It's good. It's like
peach ones.
Mochi is like fruit roll up consistent. Oh, not fruit roll up. It's
like a fruit snack?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Which one are we
doing? Uncooked dough.
Yeah. It is like uncooked dough.
Which one? I want to eat the right one.
Red one.
Oh, the red one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's very odd.
If you eat the red mochi, then life goes back to exactly what you were expecting. We'll never have this conversation. If you take the blue mochi...
Oh. Yeah, but what if...
You'll see how deep this rabbit hole goes.
Which one do I eat to get Tank and Dozer out of my movie?
That would be the sequel mochi.
Okay. That's right. How do I swap one of those guys with Michael from Lost? Is there a way to do that?
Walt! Walt!
Oh, my gosh. Do you know that is one of my favorite things in the world, is to just see dumb things like that in movies and then talk. It's one of my favorite things. Like noticing that Michael from Lost took over for Tank or Dozer. Right. I forget which one it was. I just love that kind of stuff. Anyway, that's all right. It's like dough. It does feel like I'm eating something Japanese for sure when I eat it.
Imagine how good that would be if they cooked it.
Yeah, right?
It's all really squishy, like raw dough.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. But whenever I eat anything Japanese, I go, yep, Japanese.
Yep, Japanese. That,
there's
that
no
qualifies.
Question about it. There's no, I feel like it's... All is right with the world because that's definitely a thing from Japan.
So are we going to eat all of these eventually, or should I just throw them all in the garbage now?
I think you should give them to people. Guy next to you, cubicle next to you.
Are you saying we're not going to do the purple one and the peach one?
Oh, we're totally doing the purple one. I think he's got extra red ones. Is what it is.
I do. I have an extra red. I have red, purple, and beige. And I have two of each, so...
I have one. Yeah, so I only have two. I have the purple and the red, and only one of each.
Wow.
So.
Wow.
Yeah. I got screwed on that deal.
That's
okay.
Ikar Dushinsky suggested you put them in the freezer. Mochi is actually better if it's in the freezer. Oh, yeah. Because, at sushi restaurants, they have a dessert, which is mochi-covered ice cream.
Mm.
And that's really, really good.
Let's see. Let me get rid of that. Okay. All right. All right. Well, hey. Well, look what we did. We had tasted food. Now Daryl's turn to give us birthday news.
Oh, let's see. Oh, Roxanne Dawson is 56 today. She played Lieutenant B'Elanna Torres on Voyager.
Oh, yeah. Oh. Like her. She's all right.
Yeah. And she directed 2 episodes of that and 10 episodes of Enterprise.
Hold on. How old?
56.
Oh, you're kidding. She was, she's really lovely still. Look at her. I mean, not that, you know, whatever. We're an ageist society. I can't help it, but she's lovely. She did, she do the, she tour around with Star Trek conventions and stuff?
I'm sure.
And she's on Twitter, too. Take a look. As Ross Dawes.
Torres, here she is. Yeah, she's, she holds up, man. She looks great. Oh, this thing's confused. Hold on. There's a red shirt named Torres as well, and he died. Does that shock you that he perished? Probably should shock you a little bit that he is no longer with us.
Shocked.
Yeah, look at her. Flex. She is beautiful. Wow. That is one classy 50-something-year-old lady. I'm kind of blown away. She looks freaking great. Holy smokes. I'm looking at, like, recent photo here.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, she does. She does look great.
She's beautiful. Wow. All right. Grats. I don't know why I'm so shocked or blown away.
Do you need a moment?
She's really pretty. All right. Back to the thing here. Let's get back to your question, Daryl. We got this here question about whether these where these flags on Squire of Gothos came from. This Trelane dude says it's either Crusades, Renaissance, Napoleonic era, or the Middle Ages. Which do you say it is?
Oh, let's see. He was all into the Napoleon stuff. I don't remember it specifically. But if I were to guess, I would have to guess. Well, I guess I will guess. And I will guess. C. Is that Napoleon?
Yeah.
Okay. That I'll one? Guess that then.
All right. Well, let's find out. What are we this week? You're 50-50. So, or no, you got two right, one correct.
I think he's all good. There was just the mistake where you played the wrong thing a couple days ago.
Well, yesterday you got it wrong, though. He was wrong yesterday.
No, he was right yesterday.
Was he?
Yeah, it was right. the name the episode from the Clip Clop.
Oh, and he got it right. You're right. Yeah. All right, well, let's see how if it holds up today. Here we go. Let's find out. The Crusades is the proper answer. He says the flag is from the Crusades and talks about it for a bit. Here's the clip. I don't know how long this is.
And this, of course, is an array of your battle flags and pennants, dating back to the Crusades, to Hannibal's invaders, the Grecian war galleys, and the hordes of Persia. Can't you imagine it, Captain? The thousands of men marching off to their deaths, singing beneath these banners. Doesn't it make your blood run swiftly?
No, it does not do that.
It does the exact opposite of that.
So you still win on the week, then. I was just trying to see if we were going to end 50-50, but nope. You technically
came out ahead.
3 out of 4 is not
However,
bad.
You did not win the charity. The person will not be donating in your honor this week.
You could have lost a little better than that, Daryl. I could have given some
He's probably not even doing that anymore.
Who knows?
He probably has forgotten about it, yeah.
Daryl is, as always, the Trek Nerd on Twitter, and This Week in Trek at thisweekintrek.com, and the Grumpy Cast, and now will present a question to us that we have to answer properly or correctly. What is it?
Is this a starship or a brand of glasses?
Zert.
That's your theme. Starship or brand of glasses. All right, go.
Persol.
Persol or Persol?
With a P?
P, Persol.
Persol. I would lean more towards glasses because I don't think that that's like a historical deal that Star Trek would pull from. Like Persol. A battle or a city or a...
The Battle of Persol.
Battleship or something, right. Right.
Yeah, it feels glasses-y to me. I'm going to agree. Daryl, we said glasses.
And you're right. It is.
Yay.
Didn't even try to like say no. Nope. If Captain like, Picard actually would have maybe bought these glasses.
But he didn't because they're real glasses. That's what he usually does.
Right.
And then I will give you the answer. All right, it's time for the news.
Television highlights of the news of yesteryear.
It's the news.
And it's brought to you by Days on Dalduin. Hello, Scott and Brian.
Hi.
I just published my first comic book, Days on Dalduin, on Comixology. So look for it there or go to Dom Bardal, so it's DOMBARDAL.com, and click on the banner there. Love drawing while listening to the show.
Oh.
That's drawing.
Good.
Drawing.
I like making drawings.
I do drawings. My name is Simon. Thank you for not doing that as a movie, Mike Myers.
Yeah, thanks, buddy. Appreciate it. Did you ever hear that interview with him on?
Oh no, I didn't. I downloaded it.
Was it on?
I will listen to it today.
It was great.
Mark Maron, or
yeah, it was Maron, I think.
Yeah.
So it was great. Loved it. Boys had nothing but boring ones since the re-release of the Robin Williams one.
Oh yeah,
just having to skip most of them. Right.
I wish Mark Maron would remind us though during his podcast that he was in show business.
Yeah, I think he should spend a little more time talking about how he is screwed by the system all the time.
Right.
Hey, look at this here news. We got news. Olive Garden. You know Olive Garden. When you're there, you're family.
Sure. Except they still make me pay.
Yeah.
Thanks,
well,
family.
Now they make you pay once and then never again because you can get, well, you could have, they're sold out now, the Never-Ending Pasta Pass.
Mm.
The NEPP. NEP.
The NEP.
The NEP. They sold out in hours.
I am not surprised.
You can stop that summer diet immediately. Swimsuit season is over and Olive Garden is offering unlimited pasta for 7 whole weeks. Oh, I see. It does have a limit. Starting Monday at 3 p.m. Eastern, the Italian food chain will start selling. They already did this. It's new Never-Ending Pasta Pass. And it's a fantastic kids movie in the 80s. Remember the Never-Ending Pasta Pass with the big furry dog?
Never-Ending Pasta Pass. Yeah. It was such a great show.
It
was
really good. An unprecedented marketing.
Sung by Lamal. The Never-Ending Pasta Pass.
That's the one.
Yeah.
Had a big rock dude in it, is my memory. I like the rock guy.
Sure.
Unprecedented marketing ploy that will help ensure Americans' obesity rate never plummets. For $100, 100 bones, customers can order unlimited pasta dishes and unlimited Coca-Cola drinks for nearly 2 months. That seems bad. What's this? Imagine, this is a great line. Imagine slurping down endless fettuccine drenched in thick Alfredo sauce or twirling strands of angel hair topped with shrimp scampi Frida as you laugh to yourself, quote, I'm having what I'm having. Or I'll have what I'm having. Anyway.
I'll have what I'm having.
I'll have what I'm having. You'll have to act fast. Only 1,000 of the passes will be sold. And by the way, they're gone now. So don't act at all because they're gone.
Oh, yeah. Don't act in the past if you've got a way to do that.
Yeah. Why would you do this? What would be the point?
You know,
you're gonna be sick of it
for $100, a college student.
Yeah, but you'd be sick of it. Like, okay, you make a good point. I used to do weird food when I was just starting out. So yeah, I guess that's a good point. But I wonder how many of these people are just like, I love the pasta over there. I'm gonna get some more of it for $100. You know, I wonder.
Very good bucket.
And that mint is only a wafer thin. Brian, I have a special treat for you. Now, I almost did this as a request and then made you play it on the show.
Right. I actually watched it this morning, so I'm excited about this.
So unbelievable. So some dude made a video of him doing a cover of 99 Red Balloons, but played it with the entire thing is played by a bunch of red balloons. And it's kind of breathtaking how intense it is.
I love this, yeah.
Let me give you the guy's name. You should get credit here.
It's David Huang, I think.
Huang, is it? Huang? Yeah, David.
Huang. H-U-A-N-G.
Huang. Hold on. Where is this? I can't find it. Anyway, I think that's the right name. For some reason, the HuffPo doesn't give him credit, but I guess if you click into his... here we go. Let's click into his... Oh, gosh. Stop. All right. Andrew Huang. That's it. Andrew,
yes.
He did this amazing thing, and I'm going to play it for you now. So here you go.
All right.
This is 99 Red Balloons played entirely with a bunch of red balloons, and I'm not going to play the whole thing, but just a good piece of it. So here you go. One of those grid deals where it's like him and a big Brady Bunch setup where he's playing all the different parts, the different songs. It's really good. It's really good. Totally,
love it.
Totally amazing. That guy's a freaking genius. We'll link that somewhere so people can see it. Here you go. Hold on. Here you go, chat. Oh, save Chad
already had it.
Oh, they already had it. Yeah, save that for later. You'll enjoy it.
But if somebody wants to throw that on the TMS gifts page, I know it's not a gift, but at least people will be able to check it out.
It's the gif that just keeps on gifing.
Ho, ho, ho,
ho, ho, ho. Hey, HelloFresh.com, expanding. Expansion! I'm hearing from people around the country that suddenly it's available to them. That seems like good news.
Yay.
I'm still supposed to have a call with them very soon.
Yeah, it's available for me.
Oh. Oh. See? And here too, in our zip.
Magic. The magic happens.
That's very exciting. That means a whole lot of good because that stuff is rad. And I know a lot of you have been like, well, I love it. It sounds like a great sponsor, but geez, why aren't they here? Well, they're about to be everywhere. Seems like, anyway. HelloFresh.com is the place. Go check it out. See if they deliver to you still. If they do, save some freaking money. We want you guys to get 50% off that first try. Use the code MORNINGSTREAM to do that. Get great food directly to your door. Ready to prepare, farm fresh, all that stuff. HelloFresh.com is the place. Go check it out. You will not be sad you did. This, I can promise.
Chairman J. Parnell Thomas of New Jersey opens an inquiry into possible communist penetration of the Hollywood film industry.
Celebrity Poop is brought to you by...
Hey, Scott, do you like Film Sack?
Mm-hmm.
Do you curse the heavens that you only get one episode a week?
Twice a week, yeah. I do that.
Why not subscribe to Moving On as well, the show where four guys talk about a movie from 1999 or earlier. Available now at a podcast marketplace near you. That's Moving On. That's spelled movie, M-O-V-I-E-I-N-G, on.
Seems all right.
Mm-hmm.
A fine idea.
All right, four guys talking about a movie?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not going to cost you a thing. In fact, you might call it
chicken shit money.
That's right. Celebrity Poop begins with this story. 23 Jump Street is officially happening. Those two first movies made a bunch of cash.
They did, yeah.
I still haven't seen either of them.
Me neither.
Yeah. I mean, that's not that I don't want to. I don't know why I don't see those. I don't know why I haven't bothered. I just haven't gotten excited about it. I don't know. Whatever. There's a lot of stuff to watch, I guess. 23 Jump Street is officially happening. Will Channing Tatum? Here's the question. Will Channing Tatum and Jonah Hill star in the third movie? Inquiring minds want to know. Brian, your turn. We'll see.
I want to know. Okay, I was wondering where you wanted me to go with that because I didn't see another, you know, a thing I could have questioned about this. Will it make as much money as the first two?
Inquiring minds want to know.
Oh, I forgot that part.
I want to know. That's all right.
All right.
Back to the dressing room. You have to work on your lines. E! News can confirm that the Sony Pictures and original film have been begun working on 23 Jump Street with a Rodney Rothman. What's
Rodney
his power?
Rothman.
What's his power?
Able to dredge up even more content for a third movie. Will they move down the block? We'll see. Excelsior.
Inquiring minds want to know.
Are they just going to keep moving down the same street?
I don't know.
Down Jump Street?
Because that
was the thing in the previews, right? Is that they moved across the street to 22 Jump Street?
Mm-hmm, I guess. I think that was the idea. And these are still hard R comedies, right? Isn't that what they've been doing?
I have absolutely no idea.
I'm pretty sure they're like super bad kind of level stuff.
Right. Didn't we buy this in the movie draft?
Yeah. There's a great likelihood it's responsible for our... It was our dark horse.
This and Neighbors,
Yeah, Neighbors did well. Let's see. He's returning a screenwriter. Deadline was the first to report the news. Phil Lord and Christopher Miller. Phil Lord. That sounds cooler if it's Philip Lord, but whatever.
Philip Lord. Well, then he has an air of credibility to him. Hello, I'm Philip Lord.
This Phil Lord is hard to say. Phil Lord. Phil Lord.
Phil Lord.
Phil Lord. Phil Lord.
You could do that with five letters.
The beautiful.
F-L-O-R-D. Floored.
There's your name. Floored. They have yet to be confirmed to direct the third installment of the successful franchise. Was that doubled up? I didn't know they had two guys doing the directing. Maybe they did each movie. I don't know. Whatever. But they are reportedly overseeing the script with Rothman as co-producers with Neil Moritz. There are also other major slots open in the future. Like the cast, neither Jonah Hill or Channing Tatum or Channing Chatham.
Sure.
Chodeman. They have not decided whether they're back in yet because they want a bunch of money.
Right.
And
of course.
Jonah Hill, you know, Zeus love him, is doing a lot of.
He's waiting to see if there's going to be Moneyball too before he commits to anything.
Yeah, because he's in big stuff now. He gets hired by Scorsese and things. Like,
right.
I don't know
Wolf
that
Wall
he's
Street
as interested, but You know, good for that guy. I don't know. I don't feel like anybody knew Jonah Hill was headed for such heights. And there he is, man. Drink it in, buddy. Drink it in.
Mm-hmm.
I'd still rather see Channing Tatum shirtless than you, buddy. That's all I'm saying. Alex Trebek, you're familiar with his work? Do his voice. Sure. Give me a little Trebek. You do pretty good.
It says here you've got an interesting hobby.
I love that that's the part you do.
That's my line. That's for impersonations, you've got to have your go-to line that takes you into that character.
And the guy, I love that because he asked that in kind of the same way every time. And then the guy's like, well, I totally do, Alex. I'm able to wink at people with my third nipple.
Exactly. Yeah.
So
I collect toenails. Can I have yours?
I have it here. It's in a, I keep it in a mason jar. And the only one I'm missing is yours. Now you can give it to me now. Or I can sneak into your house at night like I do everyone else and steal them.
I have pictures of you sleeping.
That's right. You sleep very quietly. You also put the lotion on the skin. Alex Trebek brings his mustache back.
Woo.
I know.
He's bringing mustache back.
That's right. That's right. Hey, did you see that Apple ad had Justin Timberlake and what's his name? Tonight Show, Jimmy Fallon doing the voiceover for that thing?
No, because I couldn't see, like, my stream kept cutting out over and over. And it's like, I missed the commercials. I missed, you know, I missed probably a good quarter of what they were talking about.
Show you. Here, check this out. Hold on. iPhone.
Okay. You going to play it?
Yeah, just a taste. See if you can hear their voice here. Okay, watch the ad. No, don't want that one. I don't want that one. Where is it? iPhone 6. Here we go. More like iPhone 6. Look at that thing. Okay, here it is. I found it. Okay. See if you can recognize these voices.
This is the iPhone 6, and this is the iPhone 6 Plus. They come with a thing called health, so they can help you track a lot of stuff. Like today, I walked 3.8 miles.
Well, I ran 4.2 miles.
Well, I climbed 11 flights of stairs.
Well, I drank a smoothie that had 362 calories.
All right, anyway, let's just go back
Is that Jason Schwartzman?
No, that's...
I'm not Jason.
Justin Timberlake.
That was Justin Timberlake, yeah, okay.
Which is what brought my...
I remember you said that, but neither of those people sound like JT.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, I had a funnel cake that had 1,230 calories in it.
And that's your Jimmy Fallon.
Paul Rudd? Oh, Jimmy Fallon, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, gotcha. So these guys could break into their Bee Gees impersonations at any time.
Yeah, anytime they want. Mm-hmm. They didn't, but they could have.
They could have.
Anyway, Alex Trebek, back to the point. America's Jeopardy superstar is making a triumphant return, meaning the mustache. When Trebek shaved off his distinctive mustache in 2001, it's been that long.
Wow.
After more than 30 years with the signature look, the country mourned.
About the mustache.
Yeah. I remember being pretty upset.
Mm-hmm.
But it's time to put some champagne on ice and get your noisemakers ready because the long-running game show, now in its 31st season, returns next week. Viewers can toast to the return of TV's most famous facial hair. So that means The Simpsons, which is scripted, is the longest-running TV show of all time. I think Jeopardy is in jeopardy of having the record for the longest-running game show of all time, I think. Isn't it?
I think The Price is Right been around longer. Yeah,
that's true. I forget that still goes. At what point at what point do you put that to sleep, really? That's a long time, dude.
I think you wait until the cliffhanger guy, the little mountain climber dude, is broken. It's like, yeah, all right, I guess we're done with this.
I love that thing is still a thing. So annoying. It's the worst. Is there a video of that? We got to have video of that, right?
Sure. Are you kidding me? There has to be.
Okay, wait. Mountain climber Price. Here it is. Someone's got it. Price is Right mountain climber song. Here you go. Oh, someone using a mic.
Nice.
Oh, a record player. Here we go. Swiss Mountain Music.
They have the album?
This is it. Isn't this it?
This is it.
And then he yodels. Okay, here we go.
Welcome to Oktoberfest.
Here's the yodeling.
I thought it was going to start there.
Yodeling is so dumb.
Is that available on MP3? What's that called? Does it say?
It says Mountain Music is the name of it.
Really? Yeah. That's the name of the song?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's super boring. Mountain Music. If you want to listen to your mountain music and do it in style, try Tweaked Audio earbuds. Put them in your ears, turn on that mountain music, sit back, take the rest of the day off. Engineered for durability, noise reduction, and compatibility, baby. Lifetime warranty on every damn thing they make at Tweaked Audio. Use the code STREAM at checkout for a third off your price each and every time you pick something up at tweakedaudio.com. That's tweakedaudio.com. All right. Nice. Let's take a break. We'll come back with Wendy in a minute. Before that, music.
All right. Well, it's time to disappoint another listener. Dear Brian and hi, Scott. I would like to request a cover of Song 41 by the Dave Matthews Band for my husband, Chris. He's turning 40 on the 12th of September, and that song is one of our favorites. If you do, thank you so very much. And if you don't, well, nuts. Thanks anyway. I really do like the podcast, you know. Gabe, Archangel in the Tadpool. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Rarely, dang it. So, yeah, I don't have a cover of Dave Matthews Band's Song 41. That's one of the songs that just does not get covered very often. However, I hope you'll take a substitute. This is beautiful, and the voice on this one is just amazing. Jody Siders recorded one of my favorite cover albums of 2013. You can go back and listen to that episode of Coverville near the end of the year last year. It was called Uncovered, released last year, and on it she included this great cover of the Dave Matthews Band's The Space Between.
That sounds great.
Love it.
Let's play it now. We'll be back with Wendy in a moment. Sit tight, everybody.
You can't quit me so quickly. There's no hope in you for me. No corner you could squeeze me. But I got all the time for you, love. The space between the tears we cry. So laughter keeps us coming back for more. The space between the wicked lies we tell and hope to keep safe from the pain. But will I hold you again? These fickle, fuddled words confuse me. Like, will it rain? Waste the hours talking. These twisted games we're playing. We're strange allies with warring hearts. What a wild eyed beast you'll be. The space between the wicked lies we tell and hope to keep safe from the pain. Will I hold you again? Will I hold you? Look at us spinning out in the madness of a roller coaster. You know you went off like a devil in a church in the middle of a crowded room. All we can do, my love, is hope we don't take this ship down. The space between where you're smiling high, it's where you'll find me if I get to go. The space between the bullets in a firefight is where I'll be hiding, waiting for you. The rain that falls, splash in your heart, ran like sadness down the window into the space between the wicked lies we tell and hope to keep safe from pain. Take my hand, 'cause we're walking out of here. Oh, right out of here. Love is all we need here. the space between what's wrong and right is where you'll find me hiding, waiting for you. The space between your heart and mine is the space we'll fill with time.
And in the desert cave, Dr. Bruce Banner has finished his experiment.
At last, I've got the answer. I must reach General Ross immediately. The last problem for our new missile has been solved, and we can... No, I shouldn't have gotten so excited. I mustn't revert. Not now.
And at this precise moment, a ricocheting bullet hits an unintended target.
My head. My head.
I mean nothing to you.
The Morning Stream. The Fresh Snacks with a snack in the middle.
All right, we're back. That 60s Hulk thing is a national treasure, by the way.
Yeah, it is. Oh, yeah, it is.
Oh, gosh. So good. Hey, real quick here.
Can I say something really quickly about the song before you do that?
Yeah, go ahead.
Big thanks to Ice Warm. After the show today, you'll be able to go to coverville.com/TMS and see a list of all the songs I've played on the show.
Nice.
And purchase and download the songs that are available on iTunes and Amazon.
That's awesome.
And when you buy them from there, you help out both me and Ice Warm. So
nice.
Check it out.
Helping out Ice Warm is a good thing to do. Helping out Brian is also good too. I'm rhyming today.
Okay, so sorry. Say what you're going to say.
I don't remember now.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, I was having a faux argument with Art Janier on the chat room there.
Quit arguing
about yodeling, whether yodeling is a culture or not. Oh, hi, Wendy.
Hello.
Maybe you can confirm this for us. I got a quick a question before we get started.
Yeah.
Yodeling, is that still happening where you are?
No.
No? Not so much.
Well, if it does, they are not doing it in front of me.
Mm.
So it's possible.
Okay. That's more of like an Austrian-German thing, isn't it?
Yeah, it's not Swedish. I don't know.
So the Swedes, not interested.
Do they, when they cook, do they throw food around and with big wooden forks and go bork, bork, bork? Do they do that there still?
Yes, yes, yes.
All right. So all the stereotypes are true, it turns out.
Yeah.
Fantastic. You sound like you're outdoors. Where are you today?
I am. I am getting, so you know we're all crammed into two bedrooms, right?
Yeah.
So it's dinner time and Adam's making dinner. So I'm just wandering down one of the loveliest streets in the world just to get away from him.
Well, that's great.
So anyway. Yeah.
That's awesome. Well, your connection sounds great right now.
Yeah, good.
No weird sounds or anything like, how about this one? None of that. I don't hear it.
No cat and chicken porn.
No cat or chicken porn.
What? I did not say that.
You did. You don't remember saying it, do you?
Cat and chicken porn?
I
said that?
So many clips of you saying things you don't remember saying.
Oh, great. This is why I hate that this is recorded. Freaks me
out. It's there forever for the world to hear. All right. Well, speaking of cat and chicken porn, it's time for us to do another Therapy Thursday.
Speaking of which, yeah.
And that'll be fun because it's always good. We take real questions from people who have questions about their personal lives or otherwise, and Wendy parses them in only a way a true therapist could. And she's my sister for disclaimer purposes, but also to illustrate how little I know about these things and how much she does know. Right. And real quick, just an update. How are things? Everything's good. It's still transitional to the final location, right?
Yeah. We move in next week to the farmhouse where there will be no noise ever when you call.
Yeah.
But a lot of mushrooms that we can pick and eat ourselves.
Wow.
Just kidding. I'm not going to do that, but people do.
Are there a lot of mushrooms?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Past one. That's what made me think of it. Yeah, and trees laden with apples, and there's this law here.
Yeah.
It's been around since forever and ever.
Yeah.
It's basically every man's right is what it's called, or all man's right, and you no land, like you can go pick an apple off of anyone's tree.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. That's
And out of courtesy, you don't, right? But legally, you have every right to just.
So, how did you stumble upon that law? Like, how did that come up?
It's just very Swedish. A lot of people, it's interesting. They're just sort of saying, "Hey, do you know this about Sweden?" And they're giving me all the typical Swedish things. And I've had a few people mention that one. Like, you can camp anywhere.
Really?
One night, anywhere.
Anywhere you want
Anywhere you want. You can even be in someone's yard. But people, again, are very sort of courteous and wouldn't do it, but they could legally do it. So anywhere in the forest. It's basically like, this land is your land, this land is my land kind of thing.
Wow, look at that. Taking a page page out of the ridiculous
song. The old-timey, yeah, good.
Well, that's good. If I ever need to camp, I will keep this in mind. Well, let's get to your question. This week it comes to us from... a guy in his 50s. We don't normally get emails from people in their 50s and beyond for whatever reason. I think, you know, some people feel like or literally have figured it all out and they don't need to email in, but this guy
or they don't listen to the show.
True. That could be the truth. So here it is. This is how it starts. Dear Wendy, Springfield and Branson. I think this is all Missouri references there.
Yes.
I'm a 51-year-old black trans man. Female to male. All right. So making the transition.
That's been,
he says, I've been listening to TMS for a year or two. Ever since presidential election, season of 2008, I've cut back on listening to the news. That's why he listens to us, because there clearly is no real news here. These days, I don't listen to it at all. Back then, I'd have thought I would be excited to hear about our first black president. Instead, what has bothered me was all the talk about racism. Once Obama took office and the partisanship got turned up, and to me, there was a lot of what was happening and what was being said would not have been if the president had been white. So in other words, all this talk of race and whatever wouldn't have come up. So all of that and the general disgust of what was going on in D.C. and me not paying attention to the news. However, it is not just that. I can't deal with hearing all the other conflicts and tragedies going on in the world. So I don't watch local or national news, made easier by being a cord cutter. I don't listen to NPR news or related podcasts. Well, you should. There's some good stuff there that have nothing to do with it. Anyway, I do pay attention. In fact, the only news source I actually kind of trust that is not laced with like ridiculous hyperbole on either side is usually NPR.
Yeah. Just or that BBC America. That's another.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. And it's fun to listen to the accent.
Yeah. Plus, they're so you long for a boring news time. Like back in the day when they'd go, and the news today. And
there's a lot of pish-posh going on at the palace today.
Right. On the hour, bong, the time will be, whatever. I love that. Anyway, he says, I do pay attention to tech news and some pop culture stuff, but that's about it. This is completely different from how I used to be. Prior to all this, I was a news junkie. As a kid, I read the newspaper and not just comics. I would go to sleep listening to all the news radio stuff. I occasionally hear about stuff. I know, like, Russia was invading and trying to invade one of its neighbors. Sounds like the Palestinians and Israelis are at it again and so on. Up until this weekend, I knew that the cops had once again shot an unarmed black person, this time in Missouri. But then listening to TMS of all places, I get more details on the Ferguson fiasco. Finally, or he says, great, a 90-year-old woman got arrested for protesting. Now there's a threat. I saw a headline on the newspaper that came across in a YouTube video also dealing with the disaster /tragedy BS. Now I can tell my body is anxious and I'm having a hard time sleeping. Sure seems like the world or this country is just headed down. My question is this. How do people deal with this? When I was starting my transition, I was really keen on not becoming another angry black man, and there's a lot to be angry about. A ton of crap happens in this world, and there's really nothing that a person can do about it. Politics is all run by big money, special interest groups. Racism still exists. ACK, he says, with an exclamation point. ACK. There are just too many other things wrong with the world to even name. So here's the final paragraph. How is a person supposed to deal with all this stuff and remain happy and sane without taking Xanax, Prozac, or other medication? I value being informed, but would not like to have to carry my anxiety and stress that comes with paying attention to the news. Thanks for all you do. So I think they probably hit a note a few weeks ago, Wendy, when you talked about, and I think on the therapy show, we've talked a lot about how you actively avoid negative stuff like this. Not that you don't want to be informed, but you avoid the loud, obnoxious sort of sensationalism of it all by avoiding images of whatever. Like when you hear about a journalist in the Middle East getting his head removed, for political purposes. That. You'll never see that. But there are plenty of people out there like, ooh, I kind of want to see that for whatever reason. Right. And then they kind of can't
unsee
it.
And maybe they're thinking that informs me and I need to be informed. And that's one of their motives. Yeah. To. And then there's also maybe the train wreck thing they want to see.
Yeah.
And for me, I don't need to see it to fool myself that I'm not really informed. I'm just voyeuring. I mean, really.
Right.
Because, so somebody got their head cut off. I guess the question is, what is informed? So take this person. Sorry to cut you off. I just got excited.
No, cut off. Go. Yeah,
okay, go. But the arc of your development, right? So at some point, this person was super into this. Mm-hmm. Like as a kid reading the newspaper, I mean, that's starting early, right? Mm-hmm. Usually kids are like, la-di-da, I don't care. That's adult stuff. And so, an interest back when the paper was paper. And, then interested. And most of us peak around our college years for interest in current events or, maybe it's because we're studying, that's part of it. But mid-20s is probably where we're the most interested in as we're sort of coming of age and what is the world like. And then I think there is some leveling out. A lot of people do. They'll find whatever news source they enjoy and then just kind of go with that and maybe create a ritual around, okay, I read it with my coffee every Thursday morning, blah, whatever, right?
Right.
But it sounds like this person has gone from it's really interesting to being really disenfranchised, or what's the word when it's not disenfranchised? When
disenchanted.
Disenchanted. Thank you. Disenchanted.
Yeah.
Because I am not a transgendered female to male black man.
No, you but are I not. Have, I can confirm. No. I confirm this, by the way, everybody.
But I have had the exact same experience after Obama was elected, and I'm not black, and. But I had very similar, I just cannot listen to this anymore. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know, is that more universal than just someone who you would think it would matter more to? But prior to that, and part of it is I think I liked to hear Bush say crazy stuff.
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. I would listen a lot more to the news when he was president. I know.
That's
weird,
really
right?
Funny. Yeah. Yeah, you were not you weren't really much of a Bush fan, but it's funny to think you were a fan of listening to him say things. That's funny.
Yeah, I loved when he would screw up or say the wrong words, or he'd just kind of buffle over stuff. And when Obama does, what any president's going to do, which is BS and try to hold it all together and make it look right and spin and whatever they have to do in that terrible job that they have.
Yeah.
I can't watch him do it. I can't. I have a really hard time. Maybe because he's more on my team than Bush was on my team, and I don't like to see my team lose. I don't know.
Yeah.
But there's a bit of disenchantment that came with that. I mean, I think it was a setup on one level, hope and change and reality.
And part of it is you kind of. I know I feel this way. I want the whole conversation to be totally free of race. Yeah. As a motivator on either side, but I know that it isn't going to be, or at the very least, I'm constantly bracing for it.
Yeah.
And that makes me want to avoid it because I don't want that that shouldn't be a part of it anymore. When I have friends of mine, I've had friends who are like, hey, between you and me, well, I guess this isn't between me and them anymore, but he said, between me and you, I don't think I trust having a black man in the most important office in the country. And these are guys I grew up with or knew in high school or whatever. And I'm like, were we really raised that differently? Did you just say what I think you said? And and when he says things publicly or in front of other people, he's saying, oh, it's because I want my guns or I want, whatever. I'm trying not to make him a stereotype, but he kind of is a little bit.
Yeah.
Hope he's not listening. He'll know who I'm talking
about. Well, and what you're speaking to is that the safety in familiarity.
Mm-hmm.
So what's so cute, the family that we're living in their little basement and hanging out with them a lot. So they're half Korean, half Caucasian, right?
Oh, cool.
And no one here says Caucasian, by the way.
What do they say?
Swedish. So I'm always like, the white half of your body. Anyway, they are the nicest people. And their kids look just like Misha's kids.
Yeah.
They're just cute as can be. And
Misha's
dark.
Misha's my sister, my Korean sister, for those who don't know. We're
married to a Caucasian guy. Yeah. So anyway, the kids are adorable. And, you take, they're so cute with my kids and comfortable with me. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking about, you know, when I am white, like his mom, this baby's mom. Mm-hmm. I look just like his mom mm-hmm. or her mom. And so she's not going to be afraid of me or think I look different. Oh, wow. Do you hear that train?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
sorry. I should take a different road.
Snowpiercer right here going on.
It was our great export to the land of Sweden. The modern railway. What? Anyway.
And the time is 1400 hours. Wow, that was the world's longest train. I'm going to go away now. Holy crap. Anyway, so, okay, what was I saying? Oh, so there's, and we know this from research too. Babies are racist for a reason. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't matter where you're raised. So this Korean guy was raised by Swedish parents with Finnish siblings. So the guy's only looked at white his whole life.
Yeah,
you know?
Very white too. Those Finnish people are see-through.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, it's just a comfort with what you're used to seeing. That's, you present your mother's face and that's your mother's face. Mm-hmm. 'Cause there's no, you know, I don't know what race I am. But it's that familiarity, right? And so I think sometimes people never kind of move out of that. Maybe they don't have experiences to move out of it, but they like for you to have someone say that, I don't trust that man just because of his color.
Maybe that's what made us so, I don't know. I feel like we had a weird advantage growing up because we had three Koreans in the house
yeah.
who were definitely different from us. In one case, because he spoke a different language when he got here.
Right.
And the other two just looked different. And because we were very young and we dealt with that at a very early age and now through our entire lives with them, that just seems like normal every day. Like not a, right. there is none of that sort of basic biological shock of that person is different than me. Or whatever, right. because we were already used to living with that. So this idea that there's even a, like, I don't even understand the whole idea that there is even a conversation about it. Like, I'm still naive right. to that. I don't understand why
and
people are arguing
that
about
is,
it.
Part of that is your exposure. I mean, you lived in Mississippi for a period of time.
Yeah.
So you were exposed to, you know, much more diverse, well, it was probably more African-American than...
Oh, and the town I lived in for a while, me and my roommate were maybe the only two white guys within 50 miles or something, yeah.
Right, and I think that's, I think what ends up happening, I love to joke, when we lived in Vermont, no one in Vermont's racist. No one. And there's a reason, because there is no one but a few Thai people running a restaurant in the whole state that are of color.
Yeah. I mean, everyone's white. They don't know how to be racist because there's no one to be racist against in their life.
Exactly. And it's very easy to say, hey, I'm not racist because you don't have exposure to the differences, right? So the differences is what brings up. And if we're all honest, we're all a little bit racist, mm-hmm. all of us. Mm. And if we're all honest, I mean, take this person. They're transgendered and they're black, like double whammy, right? How difficult a way to perceive the world mm-hmm. when maybe your feedback from other people is their fear.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And he's speaking to this generalized anxiety that occurs because we have 24-hour news.
Part of that. Yeah. I remember when I may have said this on the show before, but there was, speaking of 9/11, which is today.
Yeah.
I remember 4 days or so after 9/11, Kim and I were driving down the street. She was driving and next to us was a car that pulled up. It was a van and it was full of Sikhs.
Yeah.
They
Who
all
are
had,
not the same.
They are not the same, but even Kim knew that.
Turban. Yeah.
But she saw that van and she saw it loaded with Middle Eastern types. You know, that was the type. Yeah. And she immediately became extremely anxious.
Yeah.
Like it just overwhelmed her. And we talked about it after. She's like, I don't know why I felt that way because I know what's going on, but I still felt that way. I think this is what you're talking about. There's like a, I mean, it's like anything. It's like, have you ever heard of anything good happening in a dark alley, for example?
No.
So are you ever going to go
called the dark alley?
So you ever going to go walk down a street and go, hey, a dark alley, let's go in there and have lunch. Like you don't think that way because you have been had it impressed upon you that there's something different going on there. That's not good for you or you got to protect yourself or whatever. I think these are just all varying degrees of that. Right.
And don't you think we have this moment and maybe it was just me, but we thought, oh, it's going to be post-racial after this. Yeah. Like the highest office in the land is someone who looks like the other half of the country that never gets to see that, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And for I just think there's a lot of people who are like, okay, well, this is a milestone. And the reality is, politically speaking,
yeah,
there has never, well, you could argue that Polk had a similar, no, I'm just kidding. But there's really never been.
Always dragging poor Polk through the mud.
There's never been a less effective Congress in history, right? Mm-hmm. And one of them, and they're thinking forward politically. Like, at this point, we're just going to shut down anything Obama will ever do. And maybe or maybe not has nothing to do with his race. However, it's clearly what's been done. So now we have the first Black president and what seems to be one of the least effective presidents.
Yeah.
So can you parse those two apart? Or does history do what history will do? Because everyone hated Abraham Lincoln at the time.
Sure.
And we'll just see, right? I think that's fair. But let's get back to, you know, the guy's question. His question is, what do I do? Like, clearly he cares. He wants to be involved and he wants to be informed. But he's finding, I mean, he used the term BS. And I think that gets really clear that a lot of spin and a lot of stuff is BS. And that is difficult to think you can find something good, you know, in the middle there. So maybe there's a couple things. I don't know where he's gotten his news sources forever or how much intake he's had. Because maybe that is where some tweaking could happen. Like he limits it to Thursday. He reads the updated news about such and such.
Right. Or, you know, or I mean, part of this could be, I mean, I can only speak from my own experience, but I can tell you my anxiety level about what's happening in the world is far worse when I use the internet as a sounding board to hear what's going on. And because it is a very small group of people in a lot of cases, like, say, people you follow on Twitter, they're a very small group of voices that perhaps make it all seem so much bigger than it is or so much louder than it is or more quiet than it is. But there's all the biases of that and feeling like what you're getting is the big picture and the big picture is just horrible. But what you're really getting is this tiny, tiny slice of the picture that has nothing to do with the larger picture. And you're just not hearing, you know, it's like finding out, what's this like? It's like walking into a room thinking there are four or five people in that room and then someone turns a light on and there are 1,000 people in there. It's just that they were all very quiet. You know, and they go, oh, your perspective is suddenly jolted. I feel like that could be happening to him. It happens to me. Now, I have to reset that sometimes and go, you know, the internet isn't just what Will Wheaton said this morning at breakfast. Sometimes, the world of news goes much further than that. No offense to Will. He's fine. But I'm just saying, you know, if he's got a strong opinion about something, that doesn't mean that half the world's population is up in arms about whatever it is he's upset about. And it's easy to get trapped into that and hear these echo chambers and get stuck in there. So if that's where he's getting his information on the daily, that could be part of his problem. And that maybe needs to be cut back.
Well, he's saying he's cut back all of it. So he's decided total abstinence is the answer. Mm. But he still happens to run across that there was another unarmed, you know, Black kid shot in the back. You know, what do you do with that? And it's such an interesting email because this person has transitioned into the angry Black male stereotype, like become and now is having a perspective that no one else can get unless you're a Black male in America.
Right.
And, you know, she had transitioned into him and doesn't want to be that, but is finding this new experience legitimate. You know, we talk about stereotypes or we talk about generalizing about people. Usually that there comes from some kind of experience with somebody or your own experience that informs that it doesn't just come out of nowhere. And so that being angry, there's a reason for that anger, right? As he said, but what an interesting way to go about it. But I think, so he's saying, I'm not watching anything. I'm not listening to anything. I can't handle it. So I'm going to go personal here. And I don't know if this is true or not. He gave a lot of detail, but not where I'm going.
Right,
but
right.
I'm wondering how his personal life is, because I think what ultimately balances us as people is when there's too much ugly around us, we don't maybe have enough cushion at home. Maybe it's, you know, romantic relationships, interpersonal relationships, family. You know, I think it's easy to have our online friendships and be a part of the news and feel like we're a part of something and maybe have emptiness in other places. So that would really, to me, the answer, if I just had to guess and just say, I would say, all right, make sure your personal life is strong, that the time is going to those people you care about And if there's not a lot of people around you that you care about, then find ways, because that's the good that really, it sort of inculcates you from the overwhelming, bigger, bad picture, right?
I agree.
So those are, that's what softens the load. That's what you have to rejuvenate when you're home and with those you love, so that, you know, you can handle the world. However, I think so many people neglect that because the other thing's so loud, and it's, you know, if you want to be smart, you'll join this conversation and, you know, whatever it might be, when you might be neglecting that part that actually balances the other. Because if you take all of that negativity out and you don't watch any news, then that's a good start to kind of refresh. But then if it's going to sneak into your life, because it will, if it floors you every time, you got to ask yourself why.
Yeah.
Is it because it's shocking? Okay, maybe. Or it's, you're not used to it at this point. Sure. But I would suggest that that part is, you know, make sure your home life and personal life is strong. Wow. And put energy into that. And then the second thing is, there's so much good.
Oh, there's tons more than you think, is kind of what my whole point anyway. Mm-hmm. Was. And
but I also think, yeah, if you can't just Google it, you can't just, no, like the news. Yeah. So fear and anxiety is like a fog. It will just fill the air and you can find it and read one thing and like, holy crap, we're going to die. Right.
Yeah, yeah.
But good, you can read a good story and be like, oh, that's awesome. And then move on. And, you know, something scary will happen 2 minutes later. So I feel like that's fine to Google it, but there's something about just actively participating in the good, right? Whether it's with animals, with children, with, you know, members of your community, family members, real people, where you're seeing just their goodness.
Yes. And I gotta
and the complexity.
I gotta reiterate or champion what you just said about the Google thing. I want to play a little experiment here. Brian, give me a vegetable. Any name?
A rutabaga.
Ruta. How do you spell that? Ruta.
R-U-T-A-B-A-G.
A rutabaga.
You can look for bad news about rutabagas.
So rutabagas. So I'm going to say rutabagas cause. Now give me a disease.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. Well, let's go with the big C, cancer.
Okay, cancer. Here we go.
Because I think that's the one that you're most likely to find.
Yeah, yeah.
Yellow rutabagas could cause cancer and stroke. All right. See, my game works every time. It doesn't matter what you put in there and what disease you put in after the causes. It's a blank. What's that game kids always play where you fill in words and then later?
Yeah, the MASH or whatever.
Whatever it's called.
So why don't you do this? Put rutabaga and good cause or charity event or something.
Charity.
I was going to say improves blank.
Improves. You
know.
Yeah.
Here we go. Rutabagas, one woman's quest for oven-free living. Charity, charitable causes. Laura wrote something about a rutabaga festival where all charities, something, something, something. Let's see. Rutabaga paddle sports, press contacts. I don't know what that is. How healthy are rutabagas? Very healthy. They, while may cause gas and some bloating in some people, if you introduce them into your diet gradually, they can do things like help fight cancers and they go against the other search.
Yeah.
So my whole point is, you've just proven my point, which is like searching for diseases on the internet is a lot like trying to search the internet for good news. Yeah. The internet is great and things are wonderful. If you want to, here's what I would recommend. This is just my own personal twist on this. And then Wendy, I want you to lay out whatever plan you think you should take. But I think one of the things that was really good for me as someone who also feels the same kind of anxiety and pressure from the news world and negative coverage and all this stuff.
Yeah.
I read that book. The Optimist, or the Rational Optimist.
Yeah.
Which I freaking loved, because if you're looking for a change of perspective and a way to rise up and above all of this news noise and clatter, that book is really good at doing that by just presenting raw, untwisted statistics and, you know, a real look at what's actually happening in people's lives, right, in the world today, what happens in history, how it's different now. It will open your mind and it'll make you care less about these voices all around you that are telling you how you should feel.
Yeah.
Anyway, I love that book.
Excellent. And I will add to that two things. Make sure your personal life is strong. And second, listen to smart conversations about news. So one of my favorite podcasts is the Political Gab Fest by Slate. Mm. And I think it's because they take each topic and dig deeper into it and then use, you know, their vast political wisdom to discuss it. And, you know, and they, it really somehow I feel like, okay, I feel like I have a better grasp of that concept and what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
And now I know how to think about it or have ideas of different ways. And my mind's getting changed every time I'm listening to it.
Yeah.
It's like I really enjoy
that. For me, that show is really good. It reminds me, it has the same effect on me that Planet Money has on me.
Yes, very much.
Yeah. Which is not, you'd think Planet Money, ooh, a financial show. That sounds like I'm going to sleep, but it's not. It's like, why are sandwiches taxed in New York City? And where did that freaking come from? And if you change the name of it to a burrito, but it's still a sandwich, how did you avoid getting taxed? And like all the crazy intricacies of the human economics is fantastically well done for a guy who hates math and hates economics. And that other show is the same. It's like the same effect for politics. It's really good.
Yes. So finding some smart conversations about topics and then limiting, like I heard a conversation, I think it was on the GabFest with someone about Israel and Palestine, and this person who is Jewish, but is an expert, but is so in the middle and was able to articulate. I mean, it was incredible. I feel like it changed me. And I think, I know it's hopeless. I know that's never going to get better over there. But somehow I just heard something that didn't have to end with feeling destitute and this is not going to work. It was talking about, hey, if you've lived 50 years, you know that they're going to shoot until they run out of bullets, and then we're going to do this, and this has happened again. And, you know, it's sort of giving you an idea of how to understand something rather than to just feel hopeless. So be picky, but find some smart things to listen to, work on your personal life. I think those three things are pretty good advice.
I agree. I mean, you've already gotten the big challenge, which is your transition and your race, and that in juxtaposition to a lot of loudmouth people who are becoming more and more the minority, I want to mention, like people who are super jerks about your race and your transition are becoming less and less.
Yeah.
And that's because, you know, there's a younger generation coming up, some of whom I'm raising, who don't see the world through those lenses anymore.
Yeah.
Who are interested in a lot of acceptance and a lot of, hey, why are we even fighting over that anymore kind of stuff?
Right, because it doesn't even make sense to us.
Take heart.
Right.
Like, that's my whole point, is there's just so much to be optimistic about. The trend is always that direction. There's and dips. There's dips and problems, but we're always headed there.
And the thing is, it is, I mean, the fact that this emailer is openly out and gone through a trend, I mean, there's no better time to be alive, right?
Yeah.
Like I sometimes think, you know, when people sort of honor the 50s as the greatest, it's such BS. I would never have wanted to be a woman there. It would have been the worst, right?
Yeah, it was a bad time.
And so I think we tend to, it's humans looking forward and we miscalculate our happiness. We're terrible at that. It's looking back with nostalgia. We have lots of perception, weird things with time and, so, you know, you can't trust the fear, because a lot of us are experiencing that based on it's lazy is what it is. It just happens because we hear a snippet and then our minds run with anxiety because that's what they're meant to do.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of sort of shrinking it down to something you can think about, talk about, have a smart conversation about, and maybe do something about, I guarantee that rutabaga raise money thing came for a good reason, because somebody cared enough about something, right?
Yeah.
And maybe that's a piece of it, to get in your personal life some, even if it's small change, that you're, you know, maybe you're advocating for others who are going through the transition. Maybe you're, you know, whatever it might be, but to find ways that you also do good, not just observe the good around you, make sure you're finding it, but also maybe do it yourself.
Yeah. And someone else out there, go look up carrots cause cancer and then look up carrots prevent cancer. It's amazing.
Right.
And you will find it. So I have a great idea. I'm going to change the subject now.
Okay, go.
I'm going to take pictures from where I am when we're talking.
Okay.
And then I'm going to send them to you.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And you're going to cry because you're not here.
Oh.
So I'm just here to make your lives feel like crap.
Yeah, because
I don't know. Right next to a train doesn't sound that exciting.
No, I moved. I'm now on a canal surrounded by boats. And most beautiful sun. It's amazing. So I will send that picture to you.
And these are some of those communal boats. Anyone in Sweden can use
communal.
Them. Yeah.
It's called Every Man's Boat.
Just Every Man's Boat. Yep. Every Man's Sweet. Everyone's Meatball is.
I don't think that's true.
No. Okay.
And then
everyone's IKEA.
Everyone's IKEA. So let me tell you what I did today.
Yeah.
It was insane. I drove 4 hours. Yeah. 2 hours to, 2 hours back The Walmart of Sweden.
Nice. What's it called?
And it is, I don't know, I got to look it up again, but it, I've never seen anything like that in my life. I mean, four enormous parking lots, bus terminals, I mean, people camping. It's insane. And it's wow. The only, it's not really Walmart, obviously, but it is, everything's just cheaper. Like, wow. People from all over Sweden go here.
Really?
And I have a hangover because it was pretty intense. So, really? Yeah, I'm never doing that again.
Yeah, that sounds bad. I didn't realize. Yeah. So there is no actual Walmart. It's going to, they haven't broken
nothing
in over there.
Nothing is cheap here. Nothing is cheap. So mm-hmm. I think that's why everyone really gets into it and drives that far.
Well, I'm glad they do some communal things because those prices aren't going to get any lower.
I know. So now we got to just eat each other's apples and camp in each other's yards.
I love it. Send put the photo, put it on Instagram or whatever, and we'll share it with everybody. By the way, Wendy's Wendy Dunford on Instagram, so you can follow her there. And you know why you got your name so easily?
Yeah,
because mom spelled your name with a freaking I.
Because the I, yep, exactly.
Yep. And because I'm totally accidentally signed up for it, not realizing that was my handle name.
Oh, really?
And I was like, oh, crap, that's my real name.
You are your mother's daughter. That's fantastic. Mom thinks that every pop-up that says click here for free money is real.
Ooh, all I have to do is hit the monkey. Awesome.
That's it. Hit the monkey. Wendy, always a pleasure. Have a fun time. Enjoy dinner. And we'll look forward to doing this again real soon. And we got more therapy shows coming, everybody. We got four more on this season. People have been extremely nice about them. And I really enjoyed them. Some people say it's their new favorite podcast. In fact, Brian was just saying Tina loves it.
She does. Yeah, she's a huge fan.
Oh, that's good. I love Tina.
Tina's great.
And I love the neuroscientist who wrote in and liked that episode. I can't tell you, that was the most flattering feedback I've ever had.
Yeah, let's have
some. I am a wannabe, and he thought I did okay.
Yeah, he was all right with it. He's like, yeah, she kind of knows. She kind of knows. Awesome. All right, well, stay out of trouble. Stay out of the kids, and we'll talk to you soon.
Okay,
Skype your mother. Skype your mother.
Very good.
All right. My mom's always complaining that nobody talks to her enough, so.
Aw.
Aw, Mom.
That's what they're supposed to do. You never call. You never visit.
You never visit your mother. Shouldn't talk like that. Hey, we're done. This is a show. We're done. Later this afternoon, we will have another episode of this show brought to you by patreon.com/TMS. That is where you, dear listener, can go and throw a couple of bucks our way. And help support us because we need it badly to continue to do the show the way we do it. That's how we get the extra fifth show in a week. So please support us there if you have not already. For those who already have, you guys are amazing. For those who might or will, there's so many of you. We get so many downloads, yet such a small percentage of you are kicking back. Please help us out.
And it doesn't have to be a lot, you know, like a buck a month or, you know, 50 cents, whatever. I mean, anything, it does really help us out. It does make it so that we don't have to take on other projects, other freelance things to be able to keep the lights on. So,
and I'll tell you what, we could do a lot more. If everybody out there who's not doing it, who's enjoying the show, would spend as much as a single MP3, legal MP3 per month for as much content as we do.
Not as much as a free U2 MP3 from Apple.
No, not quite. Yeah. But you, if you did just that, I mean, the sky would be the limit. We could just go crazy. So go check it out. Patreon.
And we'll give you stuff. You'll get coffee. You'll get mugs. You'll get all sorts of good stuff from us.
Stickers and sound files. And there's cool stuff over there. Go check it out. And thank you all who are supporting us now. And please support if you can. The show is found, and all the links that matter are found at frogpants.com/TMS. Email us, themorningstream@gmail.com. We'll have new emails on Monday. On Twitter, follow us at morningstream, at Scott Johnson, at Coverville, and use the hashtag AskTMS. Do I have that right? We changed it, didn't we?
It's hashtag AskTMS, yes.
Yeah, AskTMS if you have any questions for our TMS PM segment. We do Twitter
not,
questions.
Not ass TMS.
No. Ask. TMS. Ask TMS.
XTMS.
Yeah, XTMS. And if you do that, put that in a tweet today. We'll read those tonight on TMS PM. Brian, that's it. We're done.
Well, we're not completely done.
Oh, we got to call Cleo.
Yes.
She around? She in?
She is.
Fantastic. Let's see. Carrie Chai. I had chai tea today. It was really good.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, this morning. It was fantastic. I love that stuff. We do it in that. What's that machine called? The Keurig?
The Keurig, with the little pods.
I like it. I love it. I want
little
some more.
Little pod coffee, pod chai.
It's really quite good. We'll get Carrie in here. Do what we got to do, a.k.a. Cleo.
She had a great. She should get points for the first line of that email for Therapy Thursday was, "I'm a 51-year-old black trans man," and she said, "What? You're a black trans am like Kip?"
Cleo, what's going on?
Hey, what's up?
Hey, you know, life. Life is good. How are you? What's going on with you?
I'm hanging in there. Not much going on out here.
Yeah?
Trying to figure out what completely offensive thing I can send from Amazon to your daughter.
Feel free.
Little bag of candy penises, anyone?
Little bag of penises.
Yeah, bag of penises.
Yep.
Carrie comes on the show. She does it each and every Thursday when available, and she tells us some funny stuff that happened in the Tadpole over the week. Carrie, take it away.
I do. I have a bunch of funny stuff. Actually, I posted two things in the Frog Pants, the Tadpool page on Facebook, too. And I, for some reason, I'm having a hard time accessing those right now. So I will send you some of those on Twitter for tonight.
Please
to
do.
Joke about. Let me see what else we got here. All right. Jigsaw would like Bill Duran to start charging $35 to smell a stink bag. Comic-Con. The first thing that happened this week. You never think you're going to open with the cost for a stink bag.
No,
no, you're not.
No, you don't. But you know what? I mean, Stan Lee could make a lot of money if he just put some of his dirty freaking sweaters on display or something. I think I feel like the stink bag idea could extend all the way up.
Well, that was Tadpole, that was a thing. That,
new thing, Facebook thing. Smell of Stan Lee's stink bag. What does it smell like?
That was the whole thing with Johnny Carson. Like he always said, never open with a stink bag joke.
Yeah.
Never.
That's right.
Never. Yeah. Bad times. Mm. Smells like Stan Lee's stink bag smells like age. Ben Gay.
Smells like Excelsior.
You know what? If he made a cologne, and why this has never happened, I don't
know. And he does, and it is called Excelsior.
He made that?
I could have sworn that.
There's no
Stanley cologne. Cologne. Yes, he did. Yeah.
I didn't know that. There's no new ideas under the sun.
Well, now we know what Taylor's getting for
her wedding.
I was going
to say, and now we know what Carrie's going to buy.
Great. Great.
Oh, Dylan, you're a lucky man.
Lucky man.
Let's see. For Terminator sequels, which is one of the things that we put up on Facebook, but CaddyCon in the chat room said the aftermath of his Taco Bell trip is called The Wrath of Butthole. I don't know.
What?
That was just...
Wow.
I don't even know why I did that. Okay. No. On the release of Destiny, which somehow turned the entire show into a episode of The Final Score. Let's see. TV's Egon says that Randomized Loot Drops is the name of his birthday pinata company. And before Tank Girl said destroyed it in 60 seconds is the John Hamm porn title, which I thought was pretty good.
That's
yikes.
Pretty good.
Oh,
yes. For Taylor's registry list, actually, we had several people. John Strickland, our very own John Strickland, said this explains why my edible writing utensil company never took off. I didn't think the name Pen is Candy was a problem.
Penis candy.
Nice.
Nice.
That's right. We went there.
Yeah.
And as far as the never-ending pasta pass is concerned, TV's Egon also says, like the never-ending story's flying dog dragon thing named Falcor, the Olive Garden has Alfredo.
That's actually
Alfredo!
That actually kind of works, doesn't it?
It does.
Yeah.
Totally.
It does. And the winner for the week, ladies and gentlemen, is our very own offensive GIF master, ironic name, with Swarovski crystals. Remember we were talking about those?
Mm-hmm.
He said you rub them on the things. He said the only time you get a crystal rubbing on your thing is when you're getting a lap dance.
Nice.
Congratulations. You're a winner.
You're the winner. Nice job.
Nicely done.
Way to go. Always fun. I never not enjoy this.
Crystal Good. To the main stage.
Cleo, I hope your weekend is great and void of any ER visits.
Well, you know, me too. Usually a bonus.
Have a bag of Cheetos on us, won't you?
I will. Bye.
Bye now.
See ya.
I don't know what the Cheeto thing was about. Should fire that host guy. An a-hole. all right, Brian, we are now done. Now we're really done. Okay. Do you have music for us? Let's get out of here on a nice note.
I have music for you. This comes from Heather. Hi, Something and Blue.
All right.
On September 13th, my little sister changes her last name. I'm so excited, but also so excited for this day to be over and for her and my new brother-in-law to start their new lives and leave the stress of all this wedding planning behind. Sound familiar?
Yeah, totally.
We used to listen to the girl group Bewitched like crazy when we were kids kicking back, playing dress up, or painting our nails. Listening to them now brings back such fond memories. I'm not sure if there are any covers of or by Bewitched, but I know if anyone can find something, Brian can. Anything close would be great. Love will grow, bro. Signed, Heather.
Nice.
I could have cheated. You know, I could have just taken the easy route and said, I'll just play something by the Spice Girls because this was kind of around the time, or a little bit later than the time, that Spice Girls were huge, and Bewitched was like one of those, I don't want to say knockoff, because they did have some kind of unique stuff to them. They didn't have each one being like a little stereotype of something, mm-hmm. like the sexy one, the baby right. one, the sporty one.
Right.
No, how about some Bewitched? Now in 2000, they released an Across America 2000 CD. I want to say that they released this as part of one of their tours. And, on it, there were three great covers. There was a cover of ABBA's Does Your Mother Know? There was a cover of Wild Cherry's, Play That Funky Music. And there is a cover of Tony Basil's Mickey, which actually was, a cover in and of itself. It was originally by another guy who called it Kitty. The song was called Kitty when it first came out.
This is the Hey Mickey, you're so fine, you blow my mind.
It was originally Kitty, and I'll tell you who was by. It was by
I had no idea. That's crazy.
Yeah, and the lyrics were a little bit different. I mean, it was still like, oh Kitty, you're so fine. It was by a group called Racy.
Mm.
And you can hear that in episode 932 of Coverville, if you want to go back and listen. Mm. But that's not, we're not playing that. Yeah. We're playing Bewitched. We're playing their cover of Mickey, originally by Racy, translated by Tony Basil, covered here by Bewitched.
All right. By the way, all the 50-year-olds on Twitter are calling me out, saying, of course, I'm over 50 and I listen to the show. No, I know that. I'm saying we don't get emails from 50-year-olds for Wendy. Mm. Specifically, that's what I meant. I didn't mean you didn't listen. I know you listen. Long live the 50-year-olds. Woo! We're all going to be one day, too, if, time will. Yeah. All right, here it is. It's Mickey. We'll play this now. And tonight, we'll be back for TMS PM, 5:30 p.m. Please. Mountain Time Zone, frogpants.com/live. Be there. All right, Brian, that's it. Thanks, man.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Goodbye, everybody!
more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.
Let me take a selfie.
Ugh.